want to just encourage us all now. Let's get our Bibles in hand, shall we? Would you get a hold of that Bible? And once again, happy Father's Day to all of you. And the thrill that we have to take a look at our message today, I really want to highlight it. You know, we have just started a series that's entitled, really, Resolving Anger. We just recognize we're wanting to resolve anger in our society, and we've been addressing that. But with that, we're going to be taking a look at peace, or the peacemaker. And if you'll notice, I've donned my peace symbol. I want to encourage all of you who are here on our in-house worship setting, thank you. You will receive a peace sign. I just want to highlight that. Everybody, man, woman, boy, and girl. And it went over big the first service after they heard the message. You might say, well, I don't know. But hey, I went into my closet and pulled out my 1970 old hippie. You know, hippies are not dinosaurs that are dead. They live in Oregon, where I frequent. And so a lot of these look like they came from Oregon. So we have six specific designs for you. It really was the peace symbol was designed really in 1960 by a man named Holt. And he was concerned about the nuclear fallout, nuclear disarmament. So, and from that, naturally, a whole culture adjusted to the peace symbol. There's a lot of peace symbols out there, is there not? I mean, the dove is one, and then the olive branch is another. So we just have one. We hope that you'll enjoy it, but especially that you'll sign up and say, man, I want to be a peacemaker in my setting. That's important for us. So you know that I always like to start with a little bit of humor as you get your Bibles in hand or go for your electronic Bibles as well. But Pastor went into a very long sermon one Sunday, and at the conclusion, typically all the members would file out of the building, and nobody said anything about the message. Now, that would devastate me. I just want to throw that out there. And this social distancing, I really don't hear from you that much, so send me an email. Would you please say, hey, Paul, that was okay, or that was great. I love that. But on the way out, nobody said anything, but there was one man in the church to this guy. He always was complimentary somewhat or said something. So he came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, that sermon reminded me of the peace of God and the love of God. The pastor was so excited. Really, really? Why? He says, well, peace of God because it surpassed understanding, and the love of God because it just endured forever. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Hope you'll use it some way. But Lord, open our hearts today to your word as we open, Lord, what we know you have something for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is entitled, Peacemaker, In My Father's Steps. Peacemaker, In My Father's Steps. And I'm taking that from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. As you know, is a portion of Jesus' message. He preached a sermon, most call it the Sermon on the Mount. We've taken many of you there when you've gone to Israel with us. It's at the northwest section of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus talks about what he calls the portion called the Beatitudes. It's all about the attitudes. And in that section there, one verse that you can see, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Therefore, we're looking at, in my Father's steps, peacemakers, blessed are those. And the Lord uses that word blessed 9 times in that setting. That word blessed literally means happy or contented. People that have good approach, good attitudes are those that are going in the direction that Jesus sets up. A lot of that's paradoxical. In other words, it's like, whoa, that is completely, it just doesn't make sense. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who are poor. I mean, happy are those, so you can see where he's talking about an attitude here. But we're dealing with how the Bible describes the image of God, especially for you and I who are following the Lord. The relationship that we have with somebody really does have a reflection. And for those that issue in peace, peacemakers, they really are called the sons, daughters of God. And it's a great thing. I remember going to all of my children's sporting events, Emily with volleyball, and Luke with wrestling, and Holly with field hockey. And I always enjoyed when fellow students of theirs would come up and say, hey, you're Luke's dad, or you're Holly's dad, or Emily's father. Now, how do you know? Well, you look like them. It's like, yes, even though they look like me. But it was always exciting for me. So it's important for us when we see here the Bible says, hey, happy people are the peacemakers. Why? Man, they are going to be really declared those who are initiating peace, bringing peace. They're called the sons of God. So we know that Jesus is all about that. God is all about that. As a matter of fact, remember Jesus, he is called the Prince of what? Yeah, this is called the Gospel of what? And Jesus was brought into existence because the word in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Man, God's all about peace. Is God a peacemaker? Yes, sir, he is. In John 3, 17, says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is all about bringing people to himself, reconciling, bringing people. And when the angels were there to give that amazing birth announcement about the Messiah's birth on Christmas morning, the angels said, hey, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. So how's God going to do that? How's God going to bring peace on earth? He's going to bring it through the church. People that have an experience, we're going to see all about that. It's important. He's going to use us. So God's distinction, he's all about peace. God's direction, he is wanting to bring peace. How is he going to do that? Well, that's the message today. That's what God's going to do. How do we know the way to peace? Let's look at our first point. First point, you can see on your notes, says God's peace is the presence of a right order. A right order. What does that mean? Well, let's use just nature, for example. If you like getting outdoors and going au naturel, you go camping, you sit on the beach before the crowds come in, or you're up there at Carmel or Big Sur, it's like, oh, it's just natural order. It's a right order. And you say, I just feel so at peace here. It's God's setup. It's God's layout. When you're in a place that has the right order of things, there's a real peace. It is God's peace, the way God brings it up. I like things to be laid out. I like to have somewhat to expect certain things. You kind of like set your duty roster for the day. A disruptive situation in life brings almost like anxiety. But God's peace really is the presence, you're in the presence of a right order. That's a beautiful thing. That's why you and I go outside. That's why you and I like to hang out with people that have a right understanding. It's a right order. It's important for us. Let's take a look at what peace, God's peace is not. Letter A, God's peace is not like the world's peace. That's important for us. You never want to get that confused. God's peace is not like the world's peace. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in John 14, 27, as you can see in your notes. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the world gives a peace. It's a counterfeit peace. We're talking God's peace. We're not talking the counterfeit peace. See, the world offers a peace, but it's more like we're just not going to recognize the trouble. We're going to avoid the situation. You just kind of ignore it. There's a lot of people that go into mind-numbing approaches to have the world's peace. That's how they work it. It's a counterfeit peace. It's not the peace you and I are talking about. Jesus says, my peace I'm going to give you. Man, I want that peace. I want that peace, and I want to be a peacemaker and bring the real substantial peace. Letter B, God's peace is not like a truce. It's interesting to note in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, you can see on your notes as well, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, there is a difference between a peacemaker and a truce maker. Because people are out there saying, hey, we want peace. We want to work peace in the home. But they really don't know how to navigate that. What you end up doing is say, well, let's just have a truce here. We just won't push the hot button when we're together. Nobody's going to talk about that. Don't you talk about that. Because if you do, all H-E double toothpicks going to hit the fan, and we're going to not have a very good Thanksgiving meal. So what you end up having is you don't have peace in a marriage, you have a truce. You don't have peace in a work environment, you literally have a truce. Everybody has this understanding. You avoid situation. But God's peace is not just the absence, right? Not just the absence of a conflict, it's the right order of things. Like, wow, what is, I feel the peace going on here. Something is happening here. You can tell the setting of a right order because all of a sudden it just seems like there's free-flowing love. I mean, there's a freedom and an expression of kindness. There's an ability to just peacefully communicate with others or with somebody. I like that. That is that beautiful area that takes place. So necessary and helpful. A marriage and family therapist, her name is Emily Sanders, said this. I want to cite what she quoted. Peacekeeping is not the same as peacemaking. Peacekeeping often involves compromise that don't feel good. Staying silent rather than speaking up. Agreeing to things when inside you're screaming, no. It's not a quick fix that has long-term pains and is full of underlying tensions. Peacemaking can be painful, she cites. It works to create a solid foundation, which can mean confrontation and hard conversations, making changes that are difficult. It is front-loading the work for long rest and peace. So sometimes you just have to work there and navigate and be with others to work that through. We'll deal with that in our next time together, how to just navigate that resolution. But let's take a look at our second point. Two areas of peace you must have to be a peacemaker. How do I become a peacemaker? I want peace. We all want peace. Everybody longs for peace. Everybody wants peace in their home. Everybody wants peace in their family relationships, their work environments. Everybody. Man, the White House for decades has been wanting peace. They call peace summits and peace camps and peace accords. And you don't really hear the word peace that much. It's really not that really used because everybody's like, is there any way you just have this truce? We're just going to be accepting one another's differences and uniqueness. So when we take a look here, two areas of peace, you and I will need to be true peacemakers. Letter A, peace with God. Well, that's important. Peace with God, because Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you can see on your notes, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I don't need to remind you Americans what Jesus Christ has done for us. Everybody knows the cross and the resurrection. He did that for humanity. But somewhere along the line, somebody has to say, I want to be justified. That means that old term, just as if I've never sinned. So in other words, my sin, I've confessed, and Jesus has taken my sins away, placed it upon him, and the result is peace with God. It's an amazing thing to have that. Now, a person, the beauty of just life is a free will. We can justify ourselves and say, well, this is the excuse, the way I'm going to behave. This is who I am. This is what I'm all about. I'm going to go this direction and have that excuse. Or you can say, you know what? I am guilty. I want to acknowledge what God says is true, and I have crossed that over. Lord, forgive me. Justify me by the shed blood of Jesus. And he removes, literally, friends, if you've not experienced that, Almighty God removes the guilt and the shame and the despair. It's an amazing experience. There's no better feeling to have God come in and experience peace with God. A person is not troubled. A person is not filled with anxiety. Just all of a sudden the world opens up. It's a wonderful experience. Letter B, the peace of God is another thing a person will need. The peace of God. Once you have peace with God, and all of a sudden that peace of God comes. That's what we're all looking for. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, you can see it on your notes. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's what really troubles a lot of people when they see you as a believer in the midst of a hostile environment and you still feel so calm. That peace of God guards your heart and your mind, and there's just something of a satisfaction and a contentment. Yeah, there's people are out there, right? You feel sorry for them almost. Like, wow, you almost feel bad. Like, how come I don't feel as troubled? How come I don't have such buy-in? I should jump on in and start swinging with the rest of them. Show them I'm one of them. But the peace of God guards our heart and mind. And you start to enjoy knowing that God's with you. Psalm 32, verse 8, you could write that down, where God says, I see you with my eyes. If we don't have the peace with God or the peace of God, that troubles us. God, are you really looking? I was like, wow. Kind of get that little guilt complex. Lord, don't look at me. But if you have peace with God and that peace of God comes, and you read a scripture like, Lord, you really do see everything? Thank you, Lord. See, the Word of God, the Bible's designed for those who have peace with God. You love it. You devour it. You should enjoy it. It's like it is God's love letters to you and me. God wants to bring things to our attention. It's wonderful. So the peace of God is real. It's very real. It's wonderful. And when anxiety comes, and it does come to all of us, 1 Peter 5:7, you can just write that down where it just says, cast all your care to him because God cares for you. Or cast all your anxiety to him because he cares for you. He's got it. So when we deal with that now, where does a peacemaker launch into? Number three on your notes, peacemakers are those who establish peace. How does that look? I'm just going to set the tempo with this first point, and we're going to see and enjoy next time we're together. But letter A, Christians bring an atmosphere for others to find peace. It is up to you who have peace with God. It's up to us who have peace of God to bring the peace into the setting. What is one way? Well, you can see Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. On your notes there, let me bring it to your attention. It says, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Let's look for a moment here. Whatever house you enter into, I would just say whatever house signals wherever people reside, whatever hotel you go into, whatever study sessions you're at, whatever environment that you work at, you say peace to this place. Watch the kingdom of God come down. Peace of God will come because you're there, because you're there, because you're there. If there is no person of peace, God's peace, not the forfeit kind of peace, when you leave that environment for the day, your peace goes with you out the door. That's what Jesus said. Whatever house you enter, first say, not second, not third. How many know it's just always nice? It's rare when you see families or friends getting into a shouty match over a meal because most Christians, we're talking, pray over their food. It's just fun. Lord, thank you for this food. And in Jesus' name, there's a kingdom principle that comes. You might say, well, not in my house, Pastor Paul. We're all on electronic apparatus, and that's how we keep the peace. Nobody talks. We're all in our books. So you can see here, it's important for us to speak. A peacemaking can be painful. To approach people that you know are hostile, why don't you or I simply say, would you mind if I pray before we even talk about this? Let's pray. If you've been into my office, if you've even talked with me on the phone, will it either start the conversation with prayer or will end the conversation with prayer? So necessary, first say peace to this house. I've had so many things diffused over a simple little, Lord, we welcome your presence. The kingdom of God, every aspect. So it's not a truce maker. I'm not being a truce maker. And I'm not being some kind of a peacekeeper. I'm being a peacemaker. It's important. So we're dealing with that, the importance of that. Sometimes as Christians, we forget when we leave the home, wherever you reside, kind of forget that, hey, maybe we should pray before we leave and launch or even drive our vehicle. Simple things like, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. How can I cooperate today? Because I'm sure I'm going to go into some hostile environments. Somebody's going to get angry. And it's not going to be me because I've got the peace of God. Or you just say, well, Lord, don't forget my daily bread. Or deliver me from the wicked one. Or, I mean, those all those things. Make sure you clear me away from any temptation. We forget that, but we think, I'm going to get my day going and I'll get a lot finished off by getting to where I need to go. And we forget to pray. And we forget to go into that environment, say, peace to this environment. It's an important area. How many people do we know listening to bad things coming into your establishment through publications or through presentations or media? They're speaking another thing over your home. No wonder why you could be problem in the heart, anxiety filled, worry riddled, because somebody else is pushing back over you, Mr. and Mrs. Peacemaker. I'm saying to this home, peace in Jesus' name. Ooh, man. It brings an establishment. The kingdom of God is peace. Check out Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. You can see it on your screen. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man or men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one another may edify another. You have a peaceful environment. There's no longer coarse joking or tearing up and having laughs over each other by degrading somebody. You realize, man, I want to build you up. You are awesome. That peaceful environment, that right order. God's word says so much about our words, speaking peace, bringing peace, pursuing peace, praying for peace. So significant. We just came through a season where we had fasted and lamented and prayed for our nation. Our president of the Four Square Movement invited us to do that. 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, you can write that down. Why do we want to pray for all men, especially for those who are kings and all in authority? Because the outcome is that we lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Everybody in authority. Because Scripture in Romans 13:1 says it. Romans 13:1, every person in authority is placed there or ordained by God. Even what we would view as a bad apple, Lord, we need to pray for them. Reason why we may not be having peace in our society or our locale is that we're not really praying for all men. God is asking you that Christians bring the peace by reason of praying. Always like, and I just want to add one last one, Jeremiah 29:7. You could just put a little side note on it. When God swept away the entire nation from the promised land because they decided not to obey God, eventually, a few hundred years later, they were routed and taken into captivity. But Jeremiah the prophet said, God's asking you, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Even while they were in jail, he says, pray for the peace of the city. There's something that's tangible, real, about the peace of God. I want that for you. I would like that for all of us who are gathered around the Word of God today. Make peace with God for yourself. Say, I so want peace in my living arrangements. I so want peace in my work environment. Let's have peace with God and watch how the peace of God comes upon you. I invite you now to pray this simple little prayer with me. Would you pray this simple little prayer with me? It has great impact and will change you forever, upon which you now will change your environment, life forever. It's inviting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It goes like this. Would you pray it out loud? Because with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Dear Jesus, I confess to you now my need for a Savior, and I believe that you, Lord Jesus, died on the cross for me, rose to life again, all for me. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life right now. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I trust you for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person that brings peace, just like your word declares. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you send me an email at office@hopechapelhb.org? Let me know, Pastor Paul, I prayed that to invite Christ into my life. I now have the peace with God, and the peace of God will be established. You watch. And you might want to just go, if you're on our website, go ahead and just submit that same declaration through the request for prayer or request for praise. We'll get it. I'll see it, and I'll respond. I want to thank you for watching today. And you who prayed that prayer as well, so grateful. What a fun day. Nothing would make our Heavenly Father so happy as you who surrendered your life for the first time or resubmitted your life to Jesus Christ. Scripture says, Jesus said, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person turns their life over to him. Let me pray you off a blessing, and I want to just thank you once again for joining us. Happy Father's Day. You've made me very happy joining me today and joining us here at Hope Chapel, beautiful city of Huntington Beach. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his countenance come upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.